Thank you. Today is June 1st, 2003. It's 5:30 p.m. This is the regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. We'll go ahead and establish a quorum and do a call to order. We'll do a quick roll call vote. Lori, tell me, is this, we just do it manually or do you call names?
I can call names for you.
Thank you.
Member Dowdy.
Here.
Member O'Brien.
Here.
Member Myers.
Present.
Member Green.
Here.
Member Witkowski.
Here.
Member Vail. Member Hansen. You have a quorum.
Thank you, Lori. We'll start off with just a moment of silence. All right, thank you. Well, next we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll volunteer to do that. All right, next we'll go to public announcements, public outreach and reporting. I guess I'll start with you, Member Dowdy.
Good evening. The bay is starting to fill in with bait now. We're starting to see cormorants in the bay and schools of bait. I have seen a few halibut fishermen in there. Starting Sunday, there'll be a grunion run. And about 10:30, you can't catch them this time of in June, but they're fun to watch. Have you ever done any grunion hunting? It's a lot of fun. So that's my show, my stay.
Where would you go to see the grunions?
Can you consider it to be one of these spots? Anywhere there's not a whole lot of lights. So, and you just have to check your tide book, and it'll be a couple hours after high tide. So.
Thank you. Member O'Brien?
Yeah, good evening. Thank you. Since our last meeting, I was able to take a couple of classes from Cal Poly. Crow White was a professor of those classes and was able to take them around the waterfront, and we do it quite often. It's always wonderful to take some of these marine science classes around. Gives them firsthand information. They always appreciate it. Matter of fact, we've had a few phone calls since from individuals in the class and small groups doing various classes about waterfront issues and so forth that have used our resources. Morro Bay also was co-sponsor of Lost at Sea ceremony that was done this Monday in Cayucas. It's a joint effort between Morro Bay and Cayucas, and involved is the Morro Bay Lions Club and the Cayucas Lions Club, the Morro Bay Rotary and the Cayucas Rotary, our wonderful Harbor Patrol, the Coast Guard, Sea Cadets, and the Estrella Warbirds. So it was a really, really nice event this year, even with all the construction going on at the site at the end of the pier. It turned out terrific. Very, very cool. Salmon and crab. Salmon is closed for the year. For our guys, they usually leave. They're usually gone this time of year, 1st of May generally. So a lot of our guys are still here. Some of the boats will be leaving this month. In the next 2 weeks, actually, for Oregon, for tuna fish. Hoping that there's some tuna involved, because there's very little else for a lot of boats to be able to do. There's going to be a lot of hungry families in the fishing industry this year. It's going to be really difficult. Our dredge was here, still here. I know as of yesterday, I saw 3 fuel trucks lined up. That was pretty interesting. I don't know how much they take, but it's, I'm glad I didn't have to pay for it. Individually, I guess we are We're all going to pay for it, but it's worth it. It's wonderful to see the dredge here. One of the other things we got to do, sorry to take up so much time, but we just completed work on the submarine at our Maritime Museum. And we're very, very proud of the work that was done. A fellow named Bill Haynes, who used to be a Morro Bay resident years ago, and he's been living up in Charleston, came down and did the job for us. Really remarkable craftsman. I'm very happy with what he did. We've had a lot of people stopping by and saying how good it looks. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do so.
The scaffolding, yeah.
The scaffolding came down this morning at 7 o'clock. Yeah, so it's all wide open now. It's very good. We're very proud of it. It was all done through grants and so forth, acquired by one of our members, and it's quite a piece. Anyways, that'll do her.
Right,
thank you.
I'll go to the other side. Member Witowski, any outreach or comments?
Yeah, I had one announcement. The San Salvador Tall Ship is set to return to Morro Bay from August 11th through 20th. I think tickets are currently on sale and hopefully not sold out yet. But that is coming soon. Also, local schools are getting out, I believe, end of next week. So excited to have kids around the bay doing Little Guards, Junior Guards, Yacht Club, summer sailing, all kinds of activities.
Member Green?
Yeah, I personally don't have any, but because Charisse is away, I'll be the resident chamber liaison here. I'm going through the chamber emails, and it looks like there are a couple surveys out for chamber members that interested businesses should definitely participate in. One is the business sentiment survey that will take a look at a 6 to 12 month month outlook in terms of how 2023 is shaping up and any action that businesses might want to take or the chamber. There is also a newly released Ironman business impact survey. People who feel like they have something to offer regarding the impacts to their business of the Ironman event. It sounds like this is a business-focused survey for this particular one. There may be future opportunities to speak about Ironman from a residential standpoint, but that survey is also out as of today. There is currently a program called the June Listening Tour for interested chamber members and non-members or members of the public to participate. Join us at one of our four dates to let us know how we can do better by your business. Not a member, no problem. This is open to all business owners. There was an event on June 1st at Lolo's. There's three more upcoming events. June 7th, Wednesday, at 5:30 p.m. at Pizza Port. And then Thursday, June 8th, at 8:30 in the morning at Forever Stoked on Quintana. And then we have the last event on Monday, June 12th at 4 p.m. at the Savory Palette. And again, that's the listening tour by the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. And there is one more event that is their June mixer that takes place on June 14th at Movement for Life Physical Therapy downtown.
All right. Thank you, Member Green. Mine's going to be pretty short. Most of my time has been focused following the offshore wind, not so much from a local perspective, but more nationwide. There's a lot of other communities impacted, specifically on the East Coast, that have a very similar situation to Morro Bay. It's mandated from the state and federal government. The city is obviously impacted, and they're pushing back. It's interesting because they're about 2 to 3 years ahead. It's a little bit larger town, about 100,000 people instead of 10,000, and it's interesting to see how that's going to play out. They had worked with the local company. They had, had a fairly amenable relationship, and now it's going into the court systems, and So it's kind of interesting to see that, try to foreshadow how that would play out and what the implications would be for Morro Bay. So, again, a lot of us are, you know, as local residents are continuing to follow that. But, again, outside of our domain here, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And that's all I have at this point. Questions, comments?
Just for 1 second. Thank you. I failed to mention, thank you, Mary. Mary mentioned the San Salvador coming in the August 10th. They're due to arrive here. And I had it written down here and spaced out. But in any case, if anybody would like to volunteer for the San Salvador, they could go down to the museum and enroll or register to do so. There's all kinds of volunteers needed for 3 or 4 different types of volunteering, and we need a lot of them. But, yeah, it's going to be quite an event, and we're really looking forward to a lot of participation from the schools and the communities around us here. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments, announcements from the members? All right. Next up is Judy Schleschley. Hopefully I pronounced Sheasley, I apologize. She'll be doing a presentation about the recreational boaters of California. I think with that, do you have a presentation that goes along with that, Lori?
Yeah, I can wait. Wait until you cue me to start it.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Let me know. Is this good?
Here. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you can go ahead and start it. So this is a presentation that RBOC is put together just recently, and it might want to go a little slow. I'm not sure how it's going to play. But so I am a director with Recreational Boaters of California, and what we do is we're advocates, so you might want to slow it down a little bit. I don't know if it slows down.
I can't slow it down.
I apologize. So it's just basically giving you the information that's, you know, what we do. And I did go to Sacramento in March for our legislative day, and part of WIM Farms was a big deal. When I became a director in January, I brought that to our first meeting about the WIM Farms, and they were unaware that was happening. So we haven't had an RBOC director on the Central Coast. It's been Northern California and Southern California, and somehow we fall right in the middle. So I'm the first one. So I go from Ventura to Santa Cruz. Now I think we've decided Half Moon Bay as well. But and I'll go and speak at sailing clubs or yacht clubs or harbor advisories like you, and harbor departments, and just getting you guys to aware that we are here, we're listening, we're going through the bills that are being proposed and catching things that they're trying to, kind of slip under. One thing with I sent out to a couple people was a call to action for the boat registrations, that they were trying to increase our boat registration for, I think it's a 300% increase. I have a couple of those letters here if you want to look at it. We did kind of blast out Sacramento, and let's see, on May 25th, there was a staff recommendation, and the staff recommended to reject the proposal without prejudice. So we're not all the way there yet, but this has to do with the budget, and it's going to be approved in the next couple of weeks by Governor Newsom. So we're trying to make sure that certain things are not going through, if we can help it. You know. So other than that, there's a couple of the things that we're working on, our current issues. And also with the WIM Farms, I did get a chance to talk with a representative for Senator Laird and Assemblymember Addis and a few other people too, but there I do have what we our key issues were that we brought up at our legislative day, and I was pleased to see that that actually made it on there. And I know on the East Coast there's been a lot, like you were talking about, Cal, a lot of concern. And we also work Boat U.S. They're our federal RBOC, but they're Boat U.S. And they we work with them, too. So we've got people working at the federal side of this. And anytime we do meetings, they're always there. And that helps a lot, too. So we know what's coming from the federal side to the, or if it's coming from state, you know. So the wind farms, like you said, are it's a federal deal. So I think I felt, for me personally, I was a little blindsided by them. And it's my understanding they're coming. So I hope that there's something that we can do about it as such a small little town. That's just, you know, my heart on that one. So, and I live in Cayucas too. So, anyways, so if you have any questions, that's, I just want to introduce myself and let you know. And if you have concerns that you want me to take back to our legislator or, you know, I would love to hear them. And
sure. I have a couple questions. I don't know if anybody else does at this point. My question, like, you know, we have representatives in the fishing industry. The fishing, the impact of the wind farm, the fishing industry is pretty clear. Recreational boaters hadn't really thought about personally with the, you know, once they're in place, it's roughly 20 miles out of shore. Is that a significant impact for the recreational boating community?
Absolutely, because it changes the navigable waters, right? So if they're going to restrict those areas, maybe like the oil platforms down in Santa Barbara and such, you have to stay a certain amount away, or they say you have to reroute completely. Yeah, that very much affects recreational boating.
Any statistics that would be, I mean, is that a lot of boats that travel up and down there? I just don't know.
Absolutely. And that's actually in that, sorry, in that that video.
Okay. I mean, if it's there, that's fine.
Yeah. Can we play that video again? I'm sorry. I should have just let it play without me talking.
Yeah, we didn't. The sequence was a little awkward. Remember roughly where it was in the deck.
Go ahead and just let it play if that's okay with you. And this can also be found on the website as well, but it does give the statistics of how many boats are in California and recreational, you know. Sorry, I was just relying on the video.
Yeah. Sure, if you have a question.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was wondering, is your financing appropriations and so forth come from the state government? Or who supplies the financing for the organization?
So we are a nonprofit, and we always encourage people to be friends of RBOC and donate, and those funds get put towards our legislator and their costs.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So, oops, that might have been it. Oh, well. There we go. If we could pause that right there. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's not it. Okay. And there, oh, yeah, there are, so it says 745,641 registered boats in California. And, okay, go ahead and let it go. And so I'm also a member of the Morro Bay Yacht Club, and as you know, we're kind of the only place between, you know, Santa Barbara and Monterey, aside from Port San Luis, but we are more of a safe harbor. So I do see regularly people coming in who are traveling. They're taking their boats up north or they're going down south. And so that's definitely a very busy area. And I think those wind farms are really going to be a huge impact for us. So.
Okay. Anything else, Judy, you want to cover while you're here?
That is it. And I have some pamphlets and stuff. If you guys are interested, sure. You can just come and see me afterwards.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. All right. Next on the agenda, we'd like to open it up to public comment. If there's anybody here in the audience that'd like to make a comment that's either not on the agenda or needs to leave early, you're more than welcome. I think we have one person in the audience there. Welcome.
Thank you. I'll crowd my way up here tonight. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm a resident of Morro Bay and a business owner here. I own the Morro Bay House of Jerky. I'm also a licensed captain. I have a 100-ton master's license, and I've captained many of the charter boats out there, including the Papagallo and the Chablis. So I just came here to hand out some thanks tonight, some gratitude, express some gratitude. First off, for Judy Sheasley, representing the Central Coast relative to the RBOC, the recreational boaters. I'm both a recreational boater and a professional mariner and a member of the yacht club. And she's brought information to me personally and to the yacht club that has been very valuable for us. And I think we're fortunate now that she's in the mix with that position. Secondly, I was a little disappointed I didn't see Becca tonight, but I wanted to thank the Harbor Patrol. I know that the HAB is usually pretty good about recognizing our Harbor Patrol men and women. And so not just on Ironman, but every single day of the year they're out there. I've had many, many interactions with them. Thank goodness, all of them positive. And Dana and the rest of the folks, some of them have even become friends. So I want to just recognize their efforts and thank them again. And then lastly, recognize you, the HAB members. It's good to see, actually, that some things never change. It's a comforting thought, kind of like seeing the sun come up in the east and settle in the west, to see Gene Doty and Jeremiah still here. Although it is curious, I was on the HAB 13 years ago or so, from 2010 to 14, and Gene and Jeremiah look exactly the same, but I've got gray hair now, so I'm not sure exactly how that works. But thank you all. Thank you, Harbor Advisory Board members, for your service to the city and to the city council, for the advice that you give them. I know your ad hoc committees are doing good work as well. So this typically isn't the most crowded one out here in the Peanut Gallery, but you do good work, and I wanted to acknowledge that as a participant on the waterfront. So thank you.
All right. I appreciate that. I know
thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Becca's boss is here, so that's almost as good, right? So appreciate that.
I'll give you the other 50 after the show here.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. AGP, is there anybody on the call that has their hand raised?
Thank you, Chair Myers. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
All right, thank you. We'll go ahead and close public comment. Next up is the consent calendars, A1 through A3. Does anybody want to pull any of those items? All right, I guess we'll just approve. We just need a roll call vote, right? I'm going to make you call names. Add some formality, Lori.
Would someone like to make a motion?
Jeremiah, you want to make a motion? To approve the consent items A1 through A3.
I do.
I'll second it. We're going to have a little fun. All right, do a little quick roll call vote.
Chair Myers?
Yes.
Member Witkowski?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, twice.
Member Green?
Yes.
Your motion passes.
Thank you. Next up is the business items in B1 would be our harbor director. Would you like to present on the departmental updates?
Chair Myers, thank you. I have a pretty lengthy report today. I'll try to do my best to get through it and answer any questions. And, in fact, added a couple after I heard some of the comments. So I do want to mention that BECA was awarded the annual award for the California Association of Harbor Masters just recently. I think it was last week or the week before. So that's a annual award that goes to the best of the best. And, again, she was recognized. So congratulations to her. The other thing that came to my mind, and I'm not sure what brought this up, and it was not in my report, but PG&E is going to be doing some replacement of light poles on the Embarcadero. We just learned about it last week. They kind of slipped it under the door and said that, you know, they're ready to do it. It's going to happen, I think, starting next week. And they were planning to do it straight through weekends, and we said absolutely not, no Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays. But you're going to see some street closures on the north end of the Embarcadero from basically Beach Street, you know, north. So that's there'll still be traffic, you know, able to pass, but they're going to be closing one side off or another side as they work through that. So just to make you aware. So Pacific Offshore Wind Summit was in Sacramento. I had the opportunity to attend. I didn't get to report to you last meeting on this. Mayor Wixom was there. Councilmember Landrum was there. Well attended, 700 individuals from the state, federal officials, industry leaders, and other stakeholders. We're going to continue to be a part of those types of conferences. We need to have a seat at the table, as we've mentioned. No decisions are being made through this process. I have not. The city has not. It's basically listening and understanding, and I can tell you, as much information that is being presented, all we're having at this point is more questions. There's not more answers. And I agree. The federal government and the state, this is happening with or without ports. I mean, they're going to have ports, but this is happening. There's no stopping what's going on. You know, how Morro Bay participates, I think, is going to be up to the stakeholders. We do have a voice in this, and we're going to have some say. The other, I guess, takeaway from this is that there's still a lot of uncertainty with the three, at least in our market, the three companies that are leaseholders, having to do with procurement, basically who's going to buy the power. That hasn't been established. They need absolutely more leases in the state to be certain that they're going to invest the dollar amounts that are needed to make this work. So all I can think of, and this is me speaking, this is not the harbor or the city, is if you remember high-speed rail.
I think it was high-speed fail, but yeah.
Thank you, Ted.
Yeah. CMAQ meeting was also held in Morro Bay. We were the host city. It was held at the Inn at Morro Bay. The Army Corps was here. We were privileged to have Colonel Balton visit the harbor. She is the highest-ranking commander, I think, east of the Mississippi, and it was really nice to have someone of that rank visit us and talk with us about our needs and our concerns. As I mentioned, the president's budget calls for $14.5 million next year to dredge the harbor, which gets us all the way back to, I forget what the marker is, but all the way back, way past the boat ramp. But here's the thing that also came up at the meeting that the Army Corps let me know during their environmental survey that they're doing, that they have been doing. They found steelhead trout, which is a protected species, and that could potentially delay the permit for next year. So I'm just throwing that out there. Hasn't happened yet. They're working through it. Doesn't mean the dredge won't happen. It would happen the following year, and we don't lose the funding. So that was committed to us. But again, that funding still has to go through Congress and get approved through the budget process, and that hasn't been done yet. Our budget. So our budget hasn't been approved, so what I'm going to share with you tonight is what I believe is going to happen, but it still has to be approved by council. But just to let you know that we've projected our revenue with about a 2% increase for this year, which is what the city's projecting overall for the basic economy in Morro Bay. However, our expenses are increasing at about 4.5%. So if that trend continues, we're negative in a few years, and we're hoping that we can somehow overcome that. But that's basically what's being projected for the next few years. Some of the requests that we've made is $200,000 for additional dock repairs. I do plan to take back to you that request in a somewhat of a proposal to council in terms of a direction that I'd like to see the harbor go through. I do think that without spending some significant dollars in the next few years, and I think it was Gene that gave me the bulk from, well, it was a some hardware from some of the docks that you repaired, and I should have brought it tonight, and I've been sharing that with council every opportunity I get. We literally
some rusty old bolts.
Yeah, we have bolts that look like nails. There's no longer a nut on the end of it. And every day, tide goes up and down, our docks are being basically, you know, destroyed again. If we don't do something, we're not going to have docks to lease, and we can't let that happen. So while we don't have the capital to replace docks, and we may not have that capital for years, we need an interim plan to keep our docks operational till we can get to that point. So I'm going to be bringing that forward to you, you know, as soon as this gets approved by council. We've also made a request for another response vehicle. The harbor has had vehicles that are well past their expiration date. We have another 20-year vehicle, 20-year-old vehicle that basically is barely operating. We asked for $72,000 to replace that vessel. We asked for Measure E funds for that. We almost didn't get it. The committee that reviews the budget, CFAC, I believe it is, had recommended certain pieces of the budget be removed for this year, and they made that recommendation. And thankfully, council said no, we're getting our truck. So that'll be funded by Measure E, which is a great opportunity for us. Also made a request starting this year that we develop our own replacement fund. The harbor's never had a replacement fund, and that's why vehicles are 20 years old. And by the time they get to their end of life, there's no money to replace them. So we're going to develop a $40,000 per year vehicle reserve fund, which will keep us in line with about an eight-year replacement on our vehicles. So we can't always count on Measure E, but we need to be able to count on ourselves to have the availability of those funds. Also made a request for $40,000 to do, and I hate studies, and I've said this before, I don't hate consultants, but I hate studies that basically aren't used for any specific purpose and they go on a shelf. And I promise to you I won't do that. But this study is important because it releases the $1.5 million funds that we have sitting with Congress right now to begin repairs on TDOC. And we have to be able to develop a full scope. It has to be assessed again. We have to develop a plan to what we're going to do with that money. And we don't have the internal capacity to do that on our own. So we're going to spend $40,000. That was approved. And that'll basically allow us to access those funds and begin an RFP to find a company to do the repairs that we can do for $1.5 million. On some of our infrastructure, we're still working on the boat ramp, DBW boat ramp. I was concerned when I actually saw a newspaper article that said along with this increase, there was going to be some reduction in funding, and they even mentioned boat ramps. I called DBW specifically on that, and they weren't aware of it. And basically what I got out of it, whatever happens, wasn't going to affect next year when we apply for the grant. So we still intend to go forward with that. Again, I mentioned the TPR. We're going to be working on a scope of work and cost and time frame. Beach Street dock replacement, that is still in the design phase, and we have Marcia, you know, I think a lot of you know who she is. She's basically working on a design plan for that, and I don't know if the funds that we have set aside at this point will be sufficient. We'll have to deal with that when we get to it at that point. And as you know, we spent all of us spent $80,000 for dock repairs. If you've seen some of the dock repairs, they've started to show themselves up at the boat ramp and some of the fingers that are there. Still working with FEMA on the insurance claim for the damages. We're still working with our insurance company. There's just no answer on that. There's literally a call with them every week, and we address those issues, and it continues to proceed forward. Talk a little bit about, well, this I have this under revenue, although I don't know what the revenue was, but Ironman, everyone, if you had an opportunity to see what went on, I'd like to hear your comments regarding that, good or bad. There were a lot of positive comments at the council meeting the weekend or the week after that. I've heard a few negative comments, but we really need to know because we're going to soon have a post-event internally with staff, and we need to kind of know where the failures occurred, what can be done differently, because I think, as you know, there's 3-year contracts. So we have 2 more years. And if there's any improvements, you know, we want to be able to make those. Keep going. The Harbor Office, if you have had a chance to walk in there recently, you'll see that it was at least painted on the inside. We had some work done to basically remove some of the wires that were kind of spaghetti through the Harbor Offices. That has all been cleaned up. We hope that our new flooring will be installed next week. That's the plan. And then the month following, we have new partitions and furniture coming in. So we'll let you know when that's complete. We'd like to have a little open house and, you know, invite a lot of people to kind of see what's going on there. And we do plan to work on the exterior next budget year. I have parking here only because I know it continues to come up. I know that council has requested it as a part of their plan for next year. I don't really have the details on that. It's not in my purview to kind of present or, you know, even, you know, spend much time with at this point. So hopefully that's still going to be moving forward. I know HAB did a lot of work on that, and hopefully some of those comments will be included in what's being presented. I'm continuing to work through several outstanding issues on, you know, some of our leases. I will let you know. I won't explain yet where it is. Well, I think I can tell you this. I just hate to, I can't, as you know, tell you the stuff that goes through closed session, but I will tell you that there is a RFP coming out soon, and you should see something posted probably by next week. So just keep your eye out for that. I also want to discuss, and I know the gentleman, and I'm sorry, I forget his name, Chuck, has been here multiple times. I was hoping he was here today. Maybe he's watching us. And just address those. I fully acknowledge that a shipyard is much needed here in the harbor, and I know a lot of work has been done, and facilities have been looked at, and costs, and, you know, it's clearly something we could use. I don't know how it's going to happen at this point, but I do want to address the specific area that he at least addressed with me. I don't know if he sent it to you. I'll acknowledge that, you know, a hydraulic boat trailer system at the boat ramp certainly would be an option. He had suggested a location in the boat ramp parking lot, which isn't going to happen. If we're going through a grant process again, and once we do that, we're committed to DBW for, you know, providing access and parking spaces. And the specific area that he had provided actually blocks an easement that goes back to some of those homes back there. So, again, I don't want to say it can't happen. I just want to address those specific issues when they come up and let you know the reasons why, you know, it can't be handled in those areas. The other area was the boat storage, which I'm assuming is the triangle lot, correct, when I say that? And, again, we certainly could use more boat storage. I do want to make the point that's not a harbor lot. That's a city lot. So any revenue generated from that lot doesn't go to the harbor. It doesn't mean we don't need to generate more revenue, but we don't gain any revenue from that. He provided also to me, and I don't know if you saw it, basically a schematic of how he might think that might be laid out. And while I'm not a traffic engineer, I do know something about parking lots and boat ramps, and it really has to be looked at in terms of how you could add more spaces. You know, for every trailer parking spot, you needed a minimum the length of the trailer plus another half in front of you. So if your parking space is, let's say, 30 feet, you need 30 plus another 15. You need more than that. You need the parking space, typical car width, and another half of that. So for, let's say, a 30-foot, you know, boat trailer parking space, you need about 75 feet in front of it to be able to maneuver it safely and not get sued by the individual because they ran into things. So there's a lot of issues with that. It takes more than just laying it out and say, you know, these all fit. You know, it still has to be engineered from a traffic standpoint. So, again, not saying we don't need it or we shouldn't look at it, but just some of those thoughts, you know, we're not going to work out. Just really not that much more. I will tell you, if I didn't mention this to you, but this helped us out in our budget process. We were also, we had also requested to replace the admin vehicle, which is the one I'm driving right now. It's, again, another vehicle that's way past its expiration date. And we had budgeted for it, and our police chief had a basically a five-year-old police vehicle that they have to take out of service. They have certain timelines that they have to replace vehicles. It's literally, as far as I'm concerned, nearly brand new, and they've donated it to the harbor. So they saved us another $57,000 by giving us a vehicle. So we were very thankful for that. Maybe Lori will drive it every now and then.
And rush home.
Let's see, what else? So, and I've mentioned this before, you know, my number one responsibility really is safety in the harbor. And when we see issues that affect safety, we have another vessel that the outdrives basically were on their last leg, and we can't have a vessel that isn't operable. So we basically found another $35,000 to replace those outdrives this year. So that's being done. We may not meet our budget as it was planned this year, but we're going to get those things done anyway. And then lastly, we're going to be rehiring our part-time office position again. It didn't quite work out. If you know of anybody, let us know. We'd love to have, you know, be able to fill that position soon. So that's it for me. I'd be glad to take any questions you might have.
Yeah, I have two questions. One, you mentioned thoughts on Iron Man. My personal thoughts are that the city could have done a better job negotiating the contract. I hate to see a city that's in the red take on initiatives that lose money. And the hope, I believe, was that even though the city would lose money hosting the event, that we would make it up with tax revenue by increased traffic to local businesses. Mm-hmm. And what I've heard anecdotally is that local businesses did not see a strong showing from customers and visitors during that Ironman event. And so, as Sean mentioned with the Chamber of Commerce survey, I would love for us to get the data on how we came out of this first year of the Ironman, and if we see that this isn't financially beneficial to our community, I think we should make changes to either the contract or, you know, potentially look at canceling the contract with them.
Yeah, thank you for that. And, you know, it's a contract. It's certainly not a harbor contract. It's a city contract. Whether they can cancel it, I don't know. And what I think we are going to get that data. What I've asked, especially the businesses on the Embarcadero, is don't look at Saturday as the only comparison. A lot of these families and competitors were here for many days prior to that. So if you're going to compare it, I would love to see a comparison of this week, this year, compared to last week, that same basically time frame, and then tell us how that, you know, panned out for you.
Yes, and I think we need to look at, like, week-over-week lift year-over-year because this year, not being in COVID and the economic environment is very different than last year, I believe, at this time. So I think if we looked at week-over-week lift before Ironman, Ironman week, and then the following year-over-year, we could do a strong comparison of that.
Yes, and I think we're going to get a lot of that data, hopefully through the chamber and through Visit Morro Bay. They should be able to pull that data. A lot of that's going to be reported to the state just, you know, on a regular basis. So, yeah,
thanks. One more question. Thanks for giving the update on the Launch Ramp grant. I was curious, are there any plans or activity currently to go after any of the shoreline erosion grants with DBW?
That's a really good question. Again, there are opportunities for shoreline hardening, if you want to call it. I guess the term now is, I think they're calling it climate resiliency. FEMA has has that also. We'll continue to look at that. I think I mentioned before the current budget calls for the hiring, whether it's an, I don't know if it's going to be a full-time staff person, but a grant writer for the city and for the harbor. So when those come up, we'll have the ability to actually apply for those. And if you know of a specific one, please don't hesitate to email me a link to it.
Anything else?
No. I'll send you the link. Thank you.
I had one question. You were talking about the budget for next year and how you estimate about, I think, a 2% increase. Given that waterfront lease revenue is by far the contributing factor for our budget, and knowing that waterfront leases are basically a factor of minimum CPI rent increases and or gross percent sales tax revenue, depending on the lesser of on a minimum contract. Knowing that the year-over-year CPI over the last 12 months is 8%, 8%, 8%, 8%, 7%, 7%, 6%, 6%, 6%, 5%, 5%, and we're seeing an estimated 2% increase next year, that because we're sort of kind of fairly significantly underperforming based on CPI, explain to how we're applying our CPI minimum rent increases, or is our gross percent revenue just underperforming inflation generally?
So we're basically using what the city's consultant, again, their study as far as projecting out this next year in terms of revenue growth. Even though, you know, I wasn't here. You were here during COVID and saw the incredible, I think, increases in revenue. They're not expecting that at all at this point in time. They're expecting flat and a slight increase in that. So, you know, our revenue is generated from base rent plus percentage rent. So percentage rent is what's going to generate the additional revenue for us, and if the restaurants aren't doing more business, we're not going to be seeing higher revenues. So if the projections, again, from the city's consultant says this is what we expect for the city, then that's basically what we're going off of.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, thank you. Any comments, Gene or Jeremiah?
Yeah, thanks for that presentation, Ted. Very well done. Very informative. I didn't even think about the boat storage funds. It's not a giant deal, but I just took it for granted, which I should have known better, that the funds would go to the harbor department because the funds or that whole situation was administered, as I think it was administered through the harbor department.
We still...
Do you administer the...
We basically manage it, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Does the city reimburse the harbor department?
For costs. For our management costs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okie doke.
Well, as I get a little older, I start thinking about things in the past. For some reason, that just happens. And you mentioned the steelhead and the dredging. So 50 years ago, things have changed quite a bit. But I was building a dock down there, and school of steelhead kept swimming by. And we had been doing some demo on the bulkhead. So one of the guys grabbed a stick of dynamite and threw it in the water. And probably we had all kinds of steelhead floating by. But things have changed since then.
You wouldn't do that today, right?
Yeah. I wonder what that noise was last night. Just a couple quick questions, Ted, a couple things that caught my ear. Just out of curiosity, how many vehicles does the harbor department actually have?
So we have two pickup trucks. We're replacing two, so we're going to have two brand new pickup trucks.
Sure.
We have an admin vehicle, and we have a flatbed. So those are the four vehicles.
Just four? Okay, that's what I thought. You mentioned about the boatyard. There's one person that's very outspoken on it. If the harbor department isn't the right place to present that because it's a city thing, should we send him to planning or PWAB if he wants to continue to pursue that or present that to the city?
Well, I'm not sure it would just be the city. It could be a combination depending upon a location. It's still, I think, going to be a harbor issue because you have to get them out of the water some way or another.
Gulf.
Well, the Triangle Lot, is not, we don't control.
Yeah, so if Chuck was still passionate about that topic and wanted to talk to somebody, because we can't help him.
Right. I mean, I think, I wouldn't discourage him if that's a path he would like to take. But, remember the Triangle Lot is still a potential part of the parking plan. So I hate to send him down a path that isn't going to get him anywhere.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough. And the last question, just as a comment, just as a spectator for the Ironman, and I once upon a time did do those events, long, long time ago, but it was well run, at least from my perspective. The logistics of the site and the traffic patterns, I think, worked out pretty well. So it was fun to go and watch. And it wasn't super impactful. I mean, they were pretty cognizant about traffic and letting people get past the track and stuff. I didn't go up the one at all, but it was very well organized, at least from a spectator perspective. And I think that's it for the rest of... one last question. The 40K study, when do you expect that to complete for the TPIR?
As soon as it's budget approved, we'll work towards getting... And we won't need to necessarily do an RFP, but we'll be checking with several consultants in the area. And my plan would be to get it started before the end of the summer. If that can happen, I don't know if it'll happen that quick, but...
Okay. So it'll be start next budget cycle after July 1st. Okay. All right. That's it. Any other questions, comments? All right. Well, we don't have to open up comments for each business item, do we, Lori? Oh, any public comments for business item B1? No, anybody on the phone, AGP?
Thank you. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
All right, I'll close out B1. Next up is the item B2, consent of landowner. Mary, you were going to speak to that?
Yeah, I have an update from the ad hoc committee. So we've met several times. We have a working group of local business owners, local members of the community. We've been discussing potential updates to COL process. I think there's broad alignment right now that there needs to be more options than just canceling someone's lease if work is behind schedule. We've done outreach to local areas on the Central Coast, but communities in California that have Tidelands Trusts to see if they have a COL process and what they do. And we did not find any kind of good models to model after. So our next steps that we're interested in are essentially putting together a template with recommended timelines based on different criteria that could be triggered, and recommending that. So, Gene, you've been part of the meetings. Anything else to add?
No, I think you've done a good job. We're working on it, and we're developing a template. I think it'll be reasonable for landowners and the leaseholders too.
I think since our next meeting is in August, is that the first sort of draft of that deliverable, or do you know yet?
I'm not going to commit everyone else to that, but okay. That seems okay. Yeah, that seems like a reasonable target.
Yeah, I know, Ted, I think you have a insight into that as well.
Yeah, I mean, council had asked for it, I think, in a pretty short time frame, and it's just not going to happen. Like I said in the past, I'd rather have it right than delivered wrong, so we'll get it done right.
All right, cool. Sean, you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question regarding the different people that you guys brought into the meetings. It seems like the existing leaseholders seem pretty well represented. To what extent are potential people, like non-leaseholders that are interested in a lease site being considered?
I think we have a pretty diverse group as part of the working group. So it's people who are current leaseholders, are not other members of the community. So I do feel like it's balanced perspectives. There's not necessarily a single person, I think, who doesn't have a lease and is actively going to be looking for one.
I bring it up just as an important consideration. Certainly we want to create a system that allows people to succeed, especially if they're a current leaseholder and are successful. But part of the consent of landlord process does factor in the idea of competition and brings in potential RFPs and things like that. So I just think that having a consideration for people on the outside of the system is an important part of that process.
I think we could ask Sharice to open it up to somebody from the public, and I don't know who the particular leasehold RFP applicant would be, but I think that she could certainly ask somebody to be in a group.
Yeah, and I think specifically the scope of what we're looking at is what are additional tools in the escalation ladder or kind of between someone who's late and doing nothing about it and canceling the lease altogether. What are just different tools in the toolkit for, like, everyone who's involved? And we think that, you know, different steps kind of in that path between zero and one will be beneficial to everyone.
A point of reference, I think the council, there was a recent consent of landlord agreement that sort of got renegotiated by council. This is just sort of a note to the public, and I think it's a step in the right direction that even though our current system, you know, we there might be tweaks to the system. It seems like council, I just want to give props to council for taking a step in the right direction on the recent consent of landlord agreement that did go through even before your process got initiated.
Yeah, I think our job was to help them expedite the process, not necessarily look for a new RFP applicant, but help in the process.
If I can make one comment too, and I really applaud what you're doing and the people you're bringing into it, and the plan really is it is to move the process along. That's number one goal, but it's a balance of not trying to dissuade individuals from being a part of the process, right? I mean, we don't want to get it to the point where everyone looks at it and goes, "Well, I'm not building a new building in the harbor." I mean, you know, so there's a balance there. And I know you're working on it and thinking about that. So,
all right. Thanks. Any other comments, questions on that? All right. Go ahead and close. No, we'll open it up to public comment. Anybody in the audience want to speak to item B2 about the consent of landlord process?
AGP, is there anybody on the phone?
Thank you. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
All right. The next two items will probably go pretty quick. Parking management, B3 is next on the agenda. It's the sole representative. It's been on hold since last year. We're still waiting for direction from the council to figure out. We have a lot of documentation deliverables that we'd worked on previously, so we have a lot of ammo when that comes back to be revisited, whether it's the Embarcadero or possibly even, you know, parking at the Rock. But, yeah, no activity since the last time we met. Any questions, comments? All right.
I didn't chime in earlier regarding regarding Iron Man. I feel mixed, but in terms of specific feedback related to parking, one comment that I heard a few different times was people. This is not me. This is relaying the message that the staging in the Market Plaza parking lot for a full week was particularly burdensome. So it wasn't a race day issue, but having their trailers and their staging at Market Plaza, some of the business owners on that side of the Embarcadero seem to push up against that, anecdotally.
All right. Thank you. It's a public comment about parking. Anybody in the audience want to speak about parking? AGP, anybody in the queue has a passion for parking?
Currently, not at this time.
Thank you. Got to go through the process. That's what I'm good at. And then last up is finance and budget. The Harbor Director did a very good job about talking about budget. We haven't met as an ad hoc committee for quite some time. I don't know, Sean or... No real updates. Had a pretty good overview of the budget. Any comments on that? One last round for public comment.
I'm sorry. Kind of piggybacking off the consent of landlord, sort of like temporary penalty structure, if you will. If you can recall, in terms of future missed deadline, a couple $1,000 or $100 a day or something, was it?
Yes, thank you for the question. So there was two pieces to that. One, there was the cost associated with doing the extension, and that was based on a very conservative estimate of staff time, and it was around $1,600, I think, as a fee. And then the new consent of landowner with, you know, that was extended had a $100 a day penalty for missing deadlines.
Okay.
And the reason that $100 penalty was used was because it was the lowest penalty in the city's current fee schedule.
Gotcha. Going back to what Jeremiah was saying about staff time, we always want to protect staff time and make sure that those staff costs are getting allocated. As a former accountant, I know it's very easy to apply only an hourly wage to something and leave the overhead aside. And so what's really costing the city $100 an hour, we might only be billing back at $40 an hour or whatever. So those costs need to get lumped back into the puzzle.
All right, any other comments about the budget or finance? Nope. All right, one more round, public comment? Nope. Anybody on the phone, AGP?
Currently, there are no raised hands in the queue.
All right, and then lastly, we get to declaration of future agenda items. Is there anybody that would like to propose a future agenda item? Mary?
I would. I think several months ago or last year, we had discussed updated policies for kayak fees and small boat fees, specifically kayaks on Oyster Beach or other places, and I would definitely be interested in an update on how enforcement of those are going.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me. They did a big cleanup about a year and a half ago, Lori. I don't know if you remember that. And there was some discussion about, you know, enhancing that area, putting more structured storage in there. I don't know whatever became of that. I know I volunteered and helped clean up, drag some stuff up the hill. It was quite fun. I don't know, Ted, if you're aware of that at all, if that was something that got transitioned back.
Yeah, I really don't have a lot of history on that, but I'll get you an update. We'll have it on the next agenda.
Cool, yeah. All right, thank you. Anything else, Mary? John?
One item that I think remains on our near future, maybe distant future agenda might be the rethinking of committees once council establishes their clear goals. I think that might be a couple months out still, but once we have clear goals, perhaps rethinking or reconsidering the existing committees that we have on Harbor Advisor Board.
And if I can ask a question, has there ever been Brown's Act training, or has the city clerk been here and gone through that with everybody? And okay.
I think we've all done at least one mandatory training.
Okay. There's various trainings, Ted, that they inform us when we have to, ethics and there's a few other.
Yeah, some are online, some are, you know, face-to-face.
Yeah, so we do those as they come up through the city.
All right, yeah, so goals and committee, believe me, I've been pushing for that for some time, but the timing just hasn't been right, you know, especially now with this, with the new city manager, too, that's made it a little bit more difficult. We finally got Ted up to speed. Now we got a city manager we got to train. Anything else you'd like a future agenda item, gentlemen? Okay.
Chair Myers, we did in March add Sean's request for reforming the ad hoc committees. So it's on there. It's on our list of
future agenda items. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Gene, go ahead.
Yeah. Just one comment that in the past, maybe once a year, the harbor director would give us a little rundown from north to south or south to north on what's going on each lease site. So you can start at the top and say, hey, you know, Oyster Company is doing good business, and we've got a new development on such and such. And so just an update so we, the public and the Harbor Advisor Board, have an idea of what's going on in the Harbor Department.
Part of the staff piece, kind of like we did with the budget today. So, all right. Yeah, north to south, I like that. Yeah, I remember a few of those. I think that's it. The only thing I will remind folks is that July we do skip because of the 4th of July holiday, so we will be meeting again. Next meeting will be in August. And with that, I think we can adjourn the meeting. Anything I'm missing, Lori? No? All right. Call it a day. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Bye.